I'd never heard the Christmas version of that song till today, and let me just say this, I'm grateful there's a Christmas version, because the original's a little dicey, but amen. Let's go to God in prayer before we get in the Word together. God, thank you for this morning. It's always great to be together, Father. We are just, we are so grateful, God, for this time that we can celebrate Christmas together. God, we're so grateful for this holiday season in general, because it just, God, it reminds us of the glorious birth of Jesus and just how amazing it was that He came to this earth to live as a man, and all the great things we learned from Him, all the great things that we see in Him. And God, I pray today as we get in Your Word and talk about Your amazing Son, that God, that we'll just fall in love with Him all over again. God, that we'll be in awe of Him, that God, we'll see Him and the glory of Jesus, and that we'll just be inspired and moved by it. Father, we love You. We're just so grateful for this opportunity to be together, to sing, to worship, to hear Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's, can we get this PowerPoint thing up and fired here? Because doesn't seem to be, is it behind me? It's just not in front of me. Okay. That could cause some problems, but that's okay. There we go. We got it now. Amen. You know, we get to, every year we get to celebrate Christmas at this time of year. And for me personally, I always get excited about this time of year. Not just for the Christmas season, but this is the time of year that I personally fell in love with Jesus. 1992, and the first part of December, I was, someone shared their faith with me, Sam Lazarus, out on campus, Wichita State, and I studied the Bible, and I was baptized December 30th of 1992, so I was studying the Bible during the Christmas time, and it was really cool laying underneath a Christmas tree, reading the Bible, and having it come alive for the first time. And so this time of year always kind of is nostalgic for me in that way, but also just all the awesome things that come with it, all the gifts, all the family, you know, and my favorite thing of Christmas, the beloved cheese ball. My Aunt Shirley, who is no longer with us, created the greatest cheese ball of all time, and my brother, God bless his soul, tried to recreate it here recently, and let's just say it was a sad, sad version of the cheese ball, but we love the cheese ball. Amen. I probably love it a little too much, as you can tell, but you know, we usually at Christmas time, we talk about the traditional, you know, the Jesus birth stories, right? And today we're still going to talk about that, but I want to put a little different spin on it, because I think sometimes we lose the impact of what was really happening when Jesus was born. What it really did for us. And, you know, Matthew chapter 1 is where we're going to go. The title of my lesson, of course, is Jesus and Christmas. And you're going to wonder why that IS is that way. It's not a mistake, but we'll see that here in just a second, okay? So, you guys, there we go. Matthew chapter 1. I want to talk about that concept of Jesus is, not Jesus was. And that's going to be throughout my lesson today, because I think sometimes we talk about Jesus as a was. Well, Jesus was cool. Well, Jesus was awesome. Well, Jesus was this and Jesus was that, but it's Jesus is. Because what happened when He died wasn't that He stayed dead, but He came back. And He's with us today, so Jesus is. Amen. Let's go back to that first story in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and kind of talk about this, because it's amazing if you really think about what happened at this time. It says in Matthew 1, verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Man, Jesus' birth was a game changer. Because here comes God in human form down to earth. I want you to think about that for just a minute. What was happening when Jesus was born? God is coming to earth in human form. Boy, it's cliche, right? We've heard it a million times, but I want you to think about the impact of that. God coming from heaven, the creator of all things, right? Being there in the beginning, Jesus, seeing the creation of all things, John chapter 1, right? The Word was with him. And then he comes to the earth. Why would you do that? We're all waiting to get to heaven, right? And he's coming this way. I'm like, man, I can't wait to get off this planet. I can't wait to get to heaven. He's like, hold on a second. I'm coming to see you. That always blows my mind. I'm like, why would you leave heaven, man? And then not only to come to, it's not like he just showed up at the age of 30 either. He showed up as a baby to some humble parents in humble circumstances. Honestly, he should have been born to the, you know, to a king in a palace and with all the fanfare. Because that's how special he is. But no, born in a manger, right? In Bethlehem. In the cold night. To parents who were just normal, everyday people. And here he comes. Do you ever think about why he would do that? Why? Because he wanted to break down the wall. He wanted to come and be with us. Think about Hebrews chapter 12, right? One of my favorite passages in Scripture. It talks about Mount Zion. And nobody can come to it. And this fire, and this, you know, his voice scared people. And there was this distance between God and man, and only a few people got to go close to him. This is how it was for all of history after Adam and Eve. Right? But then Jesus comes and it changes everything, because now God is right here. Right now, we get to be with him. You know, I'm a simple guy. I read the scriptures sometimes and I get tripped up by little things. I don't know if you do too. But in just that previous little verse, it said he should be called Emmanuel. And I'm like, wait a second, they called him Jesus though. Rebellious people. You guys probably all know the answer, but I had to go look that thing up. I'm like, wait a second, what are they talking about here? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is kind of where all this comes from. They also reference Isaiah 7:14 in the scripture. But this is what Ethan read at the beginning. It said, To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I think what was really cool about this is that it was saying, this is what they will call him, not that this will be his name. This will be who he is to us. This Jesus coming to the earth, this Jesus coming to be with us, what's so amazing about this is that he's coming with all this power and all this might in the form of a baby. And he's going to start off his life in these humble horrible circumstances, but before it's all said and done, this is what they're going to call him. Before it's all said and done, they're going to say, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I hope we grasp the significance of this. That God pulled out all the stops to connect with us. That he pulled out all the stops to let us know that he understands. That Jesus gets it. Jesus was a baby. Jesus had to learn how to walk. Jesus fell down and scraped his elbows. Jesus fell out of trees. Jesus went through all kinds of things. We don't know what happened to Joseph. At some point, Joseph died. He had to deal with losing a parent. He had all kinds of things. There's 30 years of time that he went through living on the earth. He understands what it's like to be us. God pulled out all the stops. Do you know how incredible that is? That God would send his son and let him go through all of that so he could relate to you and me. Amen. He didn't have to do that. He could have came up with an entirely different plan. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. He could figure it out any other way, but he said no. He's great. He's this and this and this. He's Mighty God, Everlasting Father, but I'm going to send him down and let him go through life like you do. And he's going to knock down that wall to be with us. The crazy thing is we struggle to recognize Jesus, even though he's here, don't we? But it's not just a thing that we struggle with recognizing Jesus in everyday life, Jesus working in all of our lives at different times. The people that were there with him, when we fast forward into his 30s, the apostles, they struggled with the same thing. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 22, it says, One day, Jesus said to his disciples, Let us go over there to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him. Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where's your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water and they obey him. This crazy storm comes up. The Bible has a word for this storm. It says the Greek word is seismos, where we get the word seismic. So this was like an earthquake storm that came upon these guys. It wasn't like these guys didn't know about storms. They'd been out on boats many times, but this thing was a doozy to the point where they were scared. They went down and said, Jesus, you got to do something, dude. This is crazy. Do something. We're scared. And Jesus, as cool as a cucumber, just walks out there and says, Stop, and it's over. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine seeing that? Being scared to death. The worst storm you've ever seen, and Jesus just says, Stop, and it's over. You know what's amazing about that? Not only did they forget who they were with at that time, but we forget who we're with when the storms of life come, don't we? That Jesus is. That he's right here, and that he can stop that storm in a second. But get this, sometimes it's not about him stopping the storm. Sometimes it's about him just calming you. But if you get your eyes on him, he can do that for you too. Because Jesus is. He's here. He's with you. When those storms are coming, when those health issues hit, when finances are a struggle, when you're having trouble connecting, Jesus is. He's right there. He's right there waiting. Now, he was in human form then, so he had to take a nap. Well, guess what? He don't have to take naps anymore. He doesn't check out. He doesn't go to sleep anymore. He doesn't have to take a little vacation. He's right there all the time. And I want you to understand that, guys, that storms are going to come. And sometimes He may choose not to calm the storm, but if you get, He can calm you in the storm. When Jesus came, it changed everything. It wasn't like they just had to say a prayer, but Jesus was there with them. Look at another one of these. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. It says, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then He took them with Him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed Him. They welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to Him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place. He replied, you give them something to eat. They answered, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all the crowds. About 5,000 men were there, and historians think that there was probably at least that many women and children there as well. But He said to His disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and looking up into heaven, He gave thanks and broke them. Then He gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. How many of us have ever faced times where we felt like we've got limited resources? Right? Not just talking financially, but I'm talking maybe even energy-wise, right? Some of these days, Sam sees me when I come into work. You know, I work for Sam, and I come in some days, and he's like, are you all right? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm trying to get by. Just trying to make it, right? We've all felt that way at different times. We've all felt that poverty of the flesh, where you're just like, oh, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. I don't know how I'm going to get this done. And the whole point of it, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. Right? He's there to help us. He's there with us. I would venture to say if we spent more time in prayer about those things, we'd see that connection more often. That we realize that He is, even in the situations. Man, you might feel like I only got $5.02, but put it at the altar of Jesus and He can multiply it. What's amazing about this story is it wasn't just that He fed the crowd till they were full. That's awesome. But it says there were 12 basketfuls left over. Jesus was making a point. Not only can I bridge your resources, but I can make abundance. This is nothing for me. 10,000 people who need to be fed. But yet, when we come with our struggles and our limited resources, how often do we just feel like God can't take care of it? Well, this is just too much. I'm overwhelmed. And God's like, man, I created the earth, dude. All these rules that are set up, all this space, time, continuum, all that stuff. I made that. Those are my rules. I can do anything at any given time for anybody I choose to. Just ask. Man, I love the story of the official who comes and says, Jesus, I need you to heal my son. The thing is he doesn't bring his son with him. Right? Oh, my son is 20 miles away. But he comes and Jesus goes, okay, he's healed. It's done. He didn't have to touch him, doesn't have to look at him, only has to have knowledge of him, and he makes it happen. What? Are you kidding me? I could see him touching him or saying some kind of prayer over him, but he's like, oh, he's healed. And it's over. If Jesus can do that, what can he do for you? What issue do you have that you just need to lay at his feet? All of those rules, all those things we think, well, that's impossible. Jesus can do whatever, man. Yeah. I've had checks show up out of nowhere before. Thinking, I don't know how we're going to bridge the gap here. And you get a check in the mail, you're like, dang, Aunt Janice, thank you so much. Yes! Right? How'd that happen? God. He can do anything at any given time. So why are you worried? I'm looking out at the faces today and I only see a few people who look happy. The rest of you seem like you're harassed and helpless. Sheep without a shepherd. But let me tell you, Jesus has got your back. No matter how you feel, no matter where you're at, Jesus has got you. He can do anything at any given time. And it doesn't matter what the problem is, what the issue is. You could spell it out and Jesus, you don't know Jesus. Listen, you have never heard my story. Mine's the worst. And he's like, dude, I've seen this a million times. I've seen generations of people. You got it way better than they did. And I got you. Isn't that awesome? Jesus is right here today. We don't have to worry about it. Look at this last one here. Man, this is my story. When it comes to stories, can somebody hit that little button for me back there? There we go. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. If you've ever heard me preach, you've heard me preach this one probably almost in every sermon, but man, I love it. Because it speaks to me personally, and I'll share. Hopefully it meets some needs for you as well. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Now that same day, too, men, we're going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Jesus all coyly, right? "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they did not see Jesus." Verse 21 to me is the one that always stands out. It says, "But we had hoped." I don't know if many of you struggle with the same things I do, but I can get some high expectations. You know, when I was young, I used to watch like Christmas Vacation, you know, with Clark Griswold, and I'd say, "Oh, that guy, that's just like my dad." And then I realized, no, that's me. When I get old, I just want a good old-fashioned family Christmas, right? Got these expectations. Things should just be perfect. And then when they don't happen, I can be like these guys walking down the road to Emmaus. "But we had hoped." I want to talk to some of you who've been Christians for a while. Because I think we can relate to this, can't we? "But we had hoped." Came to Jesus at a young age. We said, "Man, I'm gonna take over the world for Christ," right? "Gonna get out there and man, we're gonna make some disciples and man, I'm gonna grow in my character." And you looked at yourself and you said, "Man, 10 years from now, I'm gonna be up there preaching the word. I'm gonna be converting people. I'm gonna be this, you know, I'm gonna be slim and trim and this nice, beautiful hair. And woo boy, I'm gonna be cranking it, man. Not lazy anymore. Not struggling with anger anymore. Happy, at peace, man. I'm gonna look like Jesus. A white version." That's what I thought, right? Did you think some of the same things? And then you get years down the road, 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road, and you go, "Wait a second, but we had hoped." You looked at the church, you know, you said, "The church, man, at one point, some of you that were around in the 90s, we're the fastest growing church in the United States. Oh, yeah, come on, man. We're going for it, boy. The church is growing. Everything's awesome, right? We're going to go to these different cities and towns and plant churches and blah, blah, blah. And you look now and you go, but we had hoped. Your kids, some of you that got older kids, you thought, man, we're going to be teens and become baptized disciples at teens and going to be taking over the world, leading campus ministries. And but we had hoped, right? And we have these things that we just expected to happen that haven't, and we're sitting there. And if you're in your just in your right mind, and just for a moment, if you really sit down and think about it, you're disappointed. You're disappointed with God. You're disappointed with how things have turned out. And because of that, you've withdrawn. And you don't realize that the whole time Jesus was walking with you through the whole thing. That the whole time He was right there. That He was whispering in your ear, this has to come for your character to grow. This has to come for you to see things the way I see them. This has to come so that you can make it to heaven. This has to come so that you'll rely on me and not on yourself. This has to come so you can see my power and see the glory of God in your life. This has to come this way so you can live a full life in Jesus. When He said He came so that we would have life and have it to the full, He didn't mean it was all going to be daisies. A full life means there's going to be time of mourning. There's going to be time of disappointment. There's going to be time of struggle, right? But those things make the better times even better. When those bad things come and then you get through it and you go, man, Jesus was right there with me the whole time. It strengthens you. One of the worst times of my life the last several months. But to realize that Jesus is walking with me through it, I'm stronger now than I've ever been. Because Jesus was right there, man. I was kept from recognizing Him by my own sin sometimes, by my own look down instead of looking up. But He's always right there. I want you to understand that when Jesus came, it changed everything. That it changed from you having to walk by yourself to you getting to walk with someone, and not just someone, the one. That every step of the way, Jesus can be right there with you as well. And that He wants to be there with you. That He didn't come to the earth as a baby just to show off. But He came because He wanted to break that wall down so have a relationship with you. Yes, you. I love that we talk about, hey, Jesus loved the whole world, but He loved you. Do you get the strength of that? Do you know how that changes things if you live in that? You understand that if you live in that every day, that Jesus is with you, that He will take care of your resources, that He will take care of you in the storms, that He will walk with you through the disappointments. Do you understand how that changes everything? That even when the times are darkest, He's standing right there and He's got you. And He's like, hey, right now it looks bad. But in the end, it's going to be glorious. That's who Jesus is. Amen. We're going to take communion together, but let's look at one final scripture. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 1. Says the Son is the image of the invisible God, verse 15. The firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers, authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out by the gospel. That is Jesus. That is Him. He is the one that's walking with you. As we take communion together, I want you to dwell on that fact, that He has got you. That birth story changes everything. That wall was knocked down and it was reinforced at the cross, right? Yeah, the temple curtain was torn in two because He's like, I want you. I want to walk with you. I want to be with you. I want you. Amen. The Christmas story changed it all. It wasn't that Jesus was, it's that Jesus is. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your love for us, your heart for us, that you cared for us so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, Father. What a blessing. What an amazing thing. God, we're so fortunate. God, we don't understand it sometimes. Sometimes our own fears and our own ways of life and the challenges of this flesh and of this world just block it out from us. But God, we've been blessed with having Jesus here with us. And I do pray that we embrace that, that we walk in that, that we understand that, that we don't let all these things that can distract us keep us from fixing our eyes on your Son. Because in Him is you, and in you is everything. We love you. We thank you for this bread that reminds us of His body that was broken, and this cup that reminds us of the blood that was shed for us. In Jesus' name, amen.